Welcome to the Truth Hurts program. I'm Steve Z. Let's get right to it. Good morning, everybody. This is the Truth Hurts program, and I'm your host, Steve Z. Today is March 2nd, 2021, and I have a question for all of you. What do you know about Tweedle beetles? Well, when Tweedle beetles fight, it's called a Tweedle beetle battle. And when they battle in a puddle, it's a Tweedle beetle puddle battle. And when Tweedle beetles battle with paddles in a puddle, they call it a Tweedle beetle puddle paddle battle. And when beetles battle beetles in a puddle paddle battle, and the beetle battle puddle is a puddle in a bottle, they call this a Tweedle beetle bottle puddle paddle battle muddle. And when beetles fight these battles in a bottle with their paddles, and the bottle's on a poodle, and the poodle's eating noodles, they call this a muddle puddle Tweedle poodle beetle noodle bottle paddle battle. That, my friends, is now considered racist in the United States of America. That's right, the cancel culture has somehow decided that the beloved writings of Dr. Seuss, award-winning children's book author, are racist. President Gropey Joe Biden, the guy who likes to grope little girls' chests, on camera, without shame, without remorse, has erased Dr. Seuss from the Read Across America proclamation because progressives are seeking to cancel the beloved author, Dr. Seuss, whose birthday happens to be March the 2nd. Yes, Mr. Biden is now being criticized, rightfully so, because although he followed the spirit of the presidential tradition in proclaiming Tuesday, today, Read Across America Day, he decided to omit the name or any mention of Dr. Seuss or his beloved children's books from today's proclamation. Now, the White House didn't immediately return any requests for comment on why Dr. Seuss was left out of the proclamation, but the snub comes as liberals and progressives have sought to invoke the cancel culture upon the beloved children's author. In one of Virginia's largest school district, Loudoun County Public Schools, Dr. Seuss has been nixed completely from the Read Across America Day celebration, citing alleged racial undertones in the children's books. Even former President Barack Hussein Barry Sotero Obama and the evil Donald Trump highlighted Dr. Seuss's contributions in their annual proclamations. We reviewed the White House archives and we found those tributes, those kind words by both Obama and Trump. But Joe Biden would rather snub the beloved children's author. Obama said in 2015's proclamation, quote, "The works of Theodore Seuss Geisel, better known to us as Dr. Seuss, have sparked a love for reading in generations of students. His whimsical wordplay and curious characters inspire children to dream big and remind readers of all ages that a person is a person, no matter how small." 2016, Obama's proclamation described Dr. Seuss as, quote, "one of America's revered wordsmith who used his incredible talent to instill in his most impressionable readers universal values we all hold dear," unquote. Sounds pretty inclusive to me. Those were the words of a Blaffrican American AA hyphenated minority president named Barack Hussein Barry Sotero Obama. But Biden now thinks Dr. Seuss is racist. In 2018, Donald Trump said in his proclamation, "Always remember the still vibrant words of Dr. Seuss. You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose." I don't recall anything anti-black or pro-white or anti-Asian or anti-Hispanic in either Trump or Obama's words. One of the classiest first ladies in the history of our nation said, quote, Dr. Seuss has brought so much joy, laughter, and enchantment into children's lives all around the globe for generations. Through his captivating rhymes, Dr. Seuss has delighted and inspired children while teaching them to read, to dream, and to care. Those words were written by Melania Trump. But Joe Biden, he thinks it's okay to leave out the name of the beloved children's author for whom this day has been set aside for generations. Pandering to the leftist, progressive, cancel culture crowd. Way to be so inclusive, Mr. Biden. And it has actually gotten so bad that according to The Sun, a United Kingdom publication written today, this article says, 6 Dr. Seuss books will stop being published after Joe Biden canceled the author over racist claims. It then says, the president skipped a tradition and did not mention Dr. Seuss in his Read Across America Day proclamation after the racism claims. In Biden's speech, he made no mention of Seuss, even though his predecessors Trump and Obama both mentioned the author in their own declarations. The White House has not commented specifically on why Gropey Joe has decided not to include the author's name or any reference to him or his wonderful works. Following the racism claims, the business that preserves and protects the author's legacy confirmed on Tuesday that the production of the books will be ceased. Dr. Seuss Enterprises told the Associated Press in a statement that coincided with the late author and illustrator's birthday, these books portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong. Ceasing sales of these books is only part of our commitment and our broader plan to ensure Dr. Seuss Enterprises' catalog represents and supports all communities and families. The books that have been canceled are McElligot's Pool, To Think I Saw That on Mulberry Street, On Beyond Zebril, Scrambled Eggs Super, The Cat's Quizzer, and If I Ran the Zoo. The decision to cease publication and sales of these books was made after discussion. Dr. Seuss Enterprise listened and took feedback from our audiences, including teachers, academics, and specialists in the field, as part of our review process. We then worked with a panel of experts, including educators, to review our catalog of titles, the company said. The books by Dr. Seuss have been translated into dozens of languages and are available as well in Braille. They're sold in more than 100 countries. Seuss died in 1991. I wonder what his new book would say about the happenings of today. So on this Dr. Seuss Day, Read Across America Day, in honor of the beloved Dr. Seuss, I wrote a little Dr. Seuss-like poem of my own. It's called What's New at the D.C. Democrat Zoo.
What's new at the zoo? Racism lies from a list of who's who. They come with their curses, they come with their lies. You can see the disdain for our books in their eyes. They play the false race card, they bang on their drums. The cancel culture morons and all of their chums. They lied on the TV and lied on radio. They lied in the papers, wherever you go. And you are too light-skinned. Yes, you are too white. More books about dark skins might make things all right. You must cancel culture if culture ain't black. For inclusion you're missing, compassion you lack. Your whiteness is blinding for everyone to see. Your words are offensive to snowflakes and me. So burn all the films, the movies and books that show lightness as good or darkness as crooks. Now this is offensive to hear and to say. Tomorrow the cancelers might just come your way. So be careful of silencing things you desire. Tomorrow they'll cancel you, and you'll see things are dire. Cancel them all, Amendment 1, and then 2, and then 4, 5, and others will follow them too. But beware what you cancel, for when they are through, you might find you're next when they cancel Y-O-U. you.
Okay, boys and girls, I hope you enjoyed my little poem. Go out there and enjoy Dr. Seuss Day. At any age, they're entertaining, educational, and enlightening. And in no way, shape, fashion, manner, or form are they now or ever have been racist, bigoted, or anything but beloved children's tales. We'll be right back.
Steve Z and the Truth Hurts Program.
Yes, my friends, the cancel culture is like a cancer in America, seeking to do away with anything that the mob, the snowflakes, those butthurt Americans who feel that they or someone might be offended by you or something or someone else, and they feel they have the right to run around and just simply eliminate you. Rowan Atkinson, a British actor who played the wacky character Mr. Bean, compared the cancel culture to a medieval mob looking for someone to burn. No one is immune to the so-called woke politics of this decade. Doesn't matter how long ago a person may have made an offensive comment, and no matter how wholeheartedly they apologize, how sincere or passionate those apologies are, the woke social media will take their litmus test of the commenter and the comment itself. If it is pro-conservative, pro-Republican, pro-status quo, pro-white, pro-hetero, pro-Christian, they will find a way to vilify and demonize the person who made that comment. But if it's a Democrat, a liberal, a progressive, a leftist, a communist, a socialist, a black person, a lesbian, a gay, a transgender, a queer, an aberrant, a handicapped person, anyone of any minority, any female, as long as that female is not conservative, those people will get an automatic pass. Remember, they tried to use false allegations of sexual harassment against Brett Kavanaugh when he was vying for a position on the Supreme Court. But they're giving a pass to Andrew Cuomo, who has two very credible accusations made against him, along with a history of off-color and off-sex remarks. The double standard is alive and well. You may have recalled the name Mike Lindell, the CEO and founder of a company called MyPillow. He said his company has been recently ditched by nearly 20 retailers after he publicly simply questioned the validity of the Electoral College results of the 2020 presidential election. And then he made his election fraud claims into a movie. Many of his claims were highly substantiated with fact. Lindell is an unwavering supporter of Donald Trump, and therefore, he is being canceled by the cancel culture. Chris Harrison is the longtime host of ABC's The Bachelor franchise, and he decided to go ahead and step aside after he was forced to defend current contestant Rachel Kirkconnell when old photos surfaced of her attending an Old South antebellum party. He says, "While I do not speak for Rachel Kirkconnell, my intentions are simply to ask for grace in offering her an opportunity to speak on her own behalf. What I now realize I have done is to cause harm by wrongly speaking in a manner that perpetuates racism, and for that I'm so deeply sorry." Chris Harrison, canceled. How about the author of the entirely wildly popular Harry Potter series, J.K. Rowling? J.K. Rowling has faced backlash for voicing her fears that the push for transgender rights will ultimately endanger women's rights. They begin to eat each other. I'm talking about the two movements. And she has defended her comments on her website, and she joined 150 other authors and academics denouncing the cancel culture. These actions have only further infuriated critics who call for a boycott of her books and for her publisher to actually stop paying royalties. That will land in court, and will most certainly go in her favor. Her right to free speech, freedom of expression, canceled. How about Adam Rubinstein, or Rubenstein, depending on which side of New York you grew up on? The former New York Times opinion editor and writer resigned from the paper back in December, 6 months after its staff went into a tizzy over a piece he edited, written by Senator Tom Cotton. The column by the Arkansas Republican argued for the federal government to send in the troops to quell violence in cities throughout the country, like Portland, Seattle, Minneapolis, St. Louis, Louisville, and others, following the death of the criminal George Floyd. Former editor Mari Weiss wrote on Twitter about the resignation, "Adam was hung out to dry by his own colleagues. Then he and his work were lied about." We all heard recently about Gina Carano, the Mandalorian actress. The MMA superstar was fired by Disney because she made the horrible mistake of forwarding a post on social media that being a Republican in 2021 was similar to being Jewish during Nazi Germany. Hasbro and her agent have dropped her, as well as she's now been put on the blacklist.
But Steve, you can't call it a blacklist. That uses the term black in a negative connotation, and that would be considered racist or hurtful by the black community.
I don't care. It is what it is. And of course, the constant, continuous, non-stop calls for resignations of Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and even the late Rush Limbaugh. The primetime Fox News opinion hosts, along with Limbaugh, have long battled with cancel culture and advertisement boycotts for airing their conservative views. Media Matters, a liberal group that opposes Fox on its face, keeps a list of the network's primetime sponsors and routinely singles them out to advocate for them to drop their advertisements if they think a host says something egregious one evening in registering their First Amendment protected right to their opinion. Then there's Matt Iglesias, the liberal opinion writer, resigned from Vox, a publication he co-founded after many of his so-called woke colleagues found his articles too right of center. Mr. Iglesias argued against defunding the police this past summer and took aim at the liberal term Latinx as alienating many people from progressive politics in the Democrat Party. He's just recently joined Substack so he can voice his opinions more freely. Former presidents' names have been wiped from public school systems and public buildings and street signs nationwide, including San Francisco and New Orleans. In fact, the names Washington, Lincoln, and Jefferson have been removed from San Francisco's public schools after the school board decided to rename 44 schools that had supposed ties to racism or dishonorable legacies. Of course, there's Senator Josh Hawley, the Missouri Republican. He got dropped by his publisher, and Democrats have been screaming and crying and for his resignation after he raised a challenge to the electors in Pennsylvania because he dared to side with Donald Trump in saying that the state violated its own constitution in conducting the election the way it did, which is the honest truth. New York Post, he defended his actions, writing, quote, "I, for one, am not going to back down. My book will be published, and I will continue to represent the people of my state without fear or favor, whatever the left or the corporations say." How about Goya Foods, G-O-Y-A? Cancel culture butthurt so-called woke liberals called for a Goya Foods boycott after the company's CEO praised Donald Trump at a White House event. He said Mr. Trump's leadership was, quote, "a blessing," unquote, for Hispanic Americans. The boycott turned into a buy-cott. "Our sales went up significantly since the boycott was announced," he told Fox Business's Stuart Varney. "We did well because the restaurant business declined 70%, but we also did well because of the backlash of a boycott that was turned into a buy cut. We have our traditional customers. We kept them, but now we have many, many new customers. Good for you. And I actually bought some of their refried beans last week, along with a jar of their manzanilla olives stuffed with pimento. Really, really good stuff. Now, if you feel that literally everything is being canceled last year and this year, including the year 2020 itself, maybe it's because that's a byproduct of the very word cancel being used so often in reference to the rise of the cancel culture. But cancel culture examples now include other words to explain nuanced reactions to supposed racist, sexist, homophobic, anti-Semitic, or otherwise offensive terms or damaging actions or choices that people make, or groups, or companies. The other words and phrases include calling in, calling out, and boycotting. Now, they share similar goals in spirit, but they function quite differently in practice. Canceling, calling out, calling in, and boycotting are all distinct actions, but they do share a commonality. The overarching goal is to reduce the perceived harm to an individual or demographic, thereby creating social change. In other words, all four distinct terms draw attention to actions or opinions that may be hurtful to people in order to ultimately phase the behaviors or opinions out of culture in general. To achieve the sweeping objective, each method tries a different tactic. While understanding the nuance between each is key, it can feel murky upon first pass, especially as the discourse around each continues to evolve. To help explain these things, I will define what the four nuanced approaches to the cancel culture are, according to Aaron Bunch in wellandgood.com. The article says, the definition of calling in is to speak to an individual privately about their perceived harmful or problematic actions or opinions. Calling one into someone's office to have a tete-a-tete, so to speak. Calling someone in is seen by some activists as an effective way to create change and reduce harm while allowing an offending individual to learn, to grow, and to change. A real-life example would be, recently a black friend of mine was upset by a white woman participating in a memeing of Breonna Taylor. Because my black friend knew that the woman sharing these memes was well-intentioned, he wanted to draw attention to the fact that Breonna Taylor has not yet had justice. She spoke to them privately, rather a DM, rather than criticizing them out loud in public. Everyone was horrified that they had done a misstep, and this was the end of them sharing those types of memes. Several also told her they'd be more thoughtful before sharing Black Lives Matter related content in the future, which is a win-win for the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, the opposite of calling in would be calling out. The definition of calling out would be criticizing an individual or organization publicly, usually on social media. Calling out can be a useful tactic when calling in fails, or when the problematic individual or company is too powerful or is somewhat removed from you. For example, a celebrity or a large corporation, and they're too powerful to be called in. A real-life example is listed as, in 2017, Pepsi released a commercial featuring model Kendall Jenner breezily bridging the gap between protesters and police by offering up a soda pop. It was criticized and memed all over social media for trivializing the BLM demonstrations. As a result of being called out on social media, the evil overlords at Pepsi pulled the ad and issued a major apology. They would never want to be seen as diminishing the power of the BM movement.
It's BLM.
You say potato, I say tomato. The next step was called boycotting. We all know what boycotting is, but according to Well and Good, the definition is withholding financial support from a company in order to force change within that company's policies or practices. Once demands have been met, support may be resumed. A real-life example of this would be, in the later 1970s through the early 1980s, activists called for a boycott of Nestle products until the company stopped aggressively marketing its baby formula to women in developing countries. As a result of this financial pressure, the company did stop such marketing for a time and the boycott ended for such a time. Now, wait a minute. You don't think that a company should market its baby formula to women in developing countries? What, do you want them hanging off the boob? Is that what it is? You wanted breastfeeding to be the norm?
Steve, it's called chest feeding now. You're not woke.
Oh, yes, I am. I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning.
No. You're not woke. You're not aware. How dare Nestle, a big, giant, multinational corporation, go into a third world developing country and try and tell the women there to take the babies off their nipple and put them on formula? Who does the Nestle company think they are to be able to tell women to not let a baby hang off their boob? That's culturally inappropriate. We should boycott Nestle. I'm not going to have any of their Nestle Quick or their Nestle Chocolate Mix. Until those ladies are allowed to have babies hanging off their boobs again.
That's what we're talking about. Canceling, of course, the cancel culture's creme de la creme operation. The definition, according to Well and Good, is a collective attempt at ruining the reputation and livelihood of an individual or organization in response to a problematic or harmful action or opinion. The real-life example is, identifying those who are canceled can get confusing, but canceling people or organizations with power rarely works. In other words, people or organizations that are canceled are rarely actually, canceled. Examples such as comedian Louis C.K. was technically canceled when allegations of sexual misconduct came to light. As a result, he lost TV and film work and was unable to tour for a while. But, he gets to keep his wealth, his influence, and a hell of a fan base. Chick-fil-A was somewhat canceled by the LGBTQRSTUV alphabet group. Activists were mad because of the company's support of anti-LGBTQRSTUV causes. But guess what? I loves me some Chick-fil-A! Matter of fact, their good conservative Christian values have increased not only their stock value, but their worldwide sales revenue as well. Now let's flip that flapjack over to the other side. Civilian Amy Cooper was canceled for her anti-black treatment of birdwatcher Christian Cooper. As a result, she lost her job, she lost her dog, she lost her reputation. Due to her relative lack of power in comparison to those in the first two cancel culture examples, she may be considered more effectively canceled, though this is arguable because of any ongoing privilege she allegedly holds, as well as the support she gets from people who think she should have the right to call the cops if she wants to. Ultimately, when attempting to identify cancellation, it might be more helpful to look at the goal as opposed to the result. According to Well and Good magazine, if the intent is to ruin, to deplatform, to bankrupt a person or a company without an easy path for redemption, then the person or individual has been effectively canceled. Personally, I think that anyone who gets so-called canceled should be able to join some type of union, some type of group, where they can find love and compassion and support from people who disagree with the cancel culture in its entirety, and sue the pants off of those organizations that seek to cancel them. But that's just my opinion, and I haven't been canceled yet. And that's going to wrap up this edition of the Truth Hurts program for March the 2nd, 2021. Go out there and make it a great day. Thank you for listening to the Truth Hurts program. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We apologize if you were offended, but we retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautix. Copyright 2021, the Truth Hurts Program Network. All rights reserved.